Good morning. Good to see everyone out. If you'll notice on your bulletin, as Sarah did before, it's kind of a slip. It's October 41st. But I couldn't think of a date that seemed more accurate in how we all probably feel as October 41st. This morning, we're going to continue our series on praying like Jesus. I thought before we talked about Jesus' prayer that we'd share just some children's prayers that are pretty good. One girl prayed, "Dear God, my mom tells me you have a reason for everything on earth. I guess broccoli is one of your mysteries. Or please forgive me for hiding my sister's doll. Please don't tell her where it is. Or dear God, I need you to make my mom not allergic to cats. I really want a cat and I don't want to have to ask my mom to move out. And maybe my favorite, our Father who art in heaven, how'd you know my name?" Well, we started last week looking at two different passages. One from Matthew, from the Sermon on the Mount, what we call the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray like this. And then comparing that to John chapter 17 and the prayer that Jesus prays to the Father on the night he was betrayed. And we've been talking about the differences between Jesus' prayers and our prayers, that we tend to pray the way we tend to pray and the way that Jesus teaches us to pray. We are all pretty good at praying about what we care about. We're pretty good about praying about things that are at the top of our mind. We're pretty good at praying about the things that affect us and touch our lives most often. So we pray things about my health, my family, my friends, things for which I am thankful. We pray about those things that are in our small circles. Last week we talked about how Jesus teaches us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That Jesus teaches us to make the Father the center of our prayer life. For God to take that center stage and not for ourselves to take center stage in our prayer life. Jesus teaches us to embrace a bigger world, a bigger story, and to embrace a bigger prayer life. So we've looked there at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, and we'll just look there at that second part. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I think whenever I've read that section there, "Give us this day our daily bread," I've always focused on the bread part of it. Maybe because I like to eat and I really like carbs, or maybe even the daily part of it. But how often do we ever stop and think about the us and the hour part of it? Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread. Not just my daily bread, but our daily bread. And I've been thinking about that phrase this week, "Give us this day our daily bread." Who is the us? Who is the hour? Whose bread are we praying for? It's one thing to pray for my daily bread, and it's one thing for you to pray for your daily bread. It's one thing for me to pray for my family's daily bread, and it's even one thing for me to pray for your family's daily bread. But how big is that circle of people for whom we are praying, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Jesus is making us a part of a community. Salvation, and the more we understand the New Testament and the Scriptures, the more that we see that salvation is not just an individual thing. It's a community thing, that Jesus isn't just saving you and me. He's not just saving us as individuals. He's saving us as part of a family. As part of a group, we have that picture in the book of Exodus, and that's what I think about when I hear the words. I think of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, and finally coming to the promised land. And what did God do for them on a daily basis? He gave them their daily bread. I think when Jesus invites us to pray, not just, "Father, give me my daily bread," but Jesus invites us to pray, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread," he is inviting us to pray for the entire Christian community. He is inviting us to pray for all of our brothers and sisters. He's inviting us to pray for the entire church that he is leading out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. that he's leading us and saving us, and that we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. When we pray for our daily bread, when you pray for your daily bread, he invites you to pray not just for your bread or just for your family's bread or even your friend's daily bread or even the people that live in your own country, but for the entire population of the church. It's not just about Colquitt, Oklahoma, but as the church as a whole. So the first question that comes to mind as I think of the way that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray is this: do our prayers reflect a mindfulness of the needs of the Christian community? And again, not just the community in this room right now, and not just the community of Christians in this country right now, but our Christians, brothers and sisters all across the world. Now, our brethren across the world are going through things right now that far surpass wearing a piece of cloth over our face. I think that Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, provide for us, take care of us, feed us today, that he invites us to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, many for whom their daily bread is a lot harder to come by than you and I's. I was reading this week of what it's like to be a follower of Jesus in North Korea. And somebody wrote out what it might be like if you were a follower of Jesus there, where it's illegal to follow Jesus. It's illegal to own a Bible. If you have a copy of the Bible, I read where some people, what they'll do is they will go out and dig a hole, and they will bury their Bibles in that hole. And then at night they will go and they'll dig their Bibles up, and they'll take it inside, and they'll read their Bibles for a little while, and then they'll go back and they'll bury it where they had dug it up. In fact, many of them hope that their own children don't accidentally discover their Bibles. Because if they discover their Bibles before they know what it's all about, they might accidentally tell somebody and get the entire family in trouble. So this is how it's written. It says, "The curtains are pulled, and very softly you read from the Bible to your wife and 16-year-old son. You've only recently shared the gospel with him. Now he's old enough and wise enough not to accidentally betray you. At first he didn't understand the gospel, but you were teaching him. You've been praying for years that he'd be ready. You read the Bible in the dark. You pray the words barely audible. Do you sing in whispers? Maybe when you are in a bold mood." Raise your hand if you've ever done that in the United States. What if we, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're not just praying for our family's daily bread, our immediate family's daily bread. We're not just praying for the people we know. We're praying for all of our brothers and sisters across the globe. "Father, as you took care of your people when you brought them out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness and gave them their daily manna, and you brought them into the promised land, give us, give all your people this day our daily bread." When we pray for our daily bread, may that us and our be made up of all of God's people. You think about the next phrase, "Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." He doesn't just invite us to pray for forgiveness. He doesn't just ask us to pray as forgiven people. "Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you, God, for the forgiveness you will give. Please, God, forgive me." But he asks us to pray as forgiving people. Not just as forgiven people or people who have access to God's forgiveness, but he also invites us to pray as transformed people. He invites us to anchor our requests in forgiveness and in our transformation in the way that we treat people, and "forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." We as Christians have been transformed by the Father into people who forgive our debtors. We have let go of our bitterness. We've let go of our anger. We've let go of our hatred. We've let go of those things, and we've forgiven those who have transgressed against us. We have forgiven the people who owe us. We've let it go, and now we ask you, as transformed people, as people that are forgiving people, that you forgive as we have forgiven our debtors. Again, it isn't about us, of course, or it isn't us that transforms us. We haven't transformed ourselves into forgiving people, but it's the gospel. It's being disciples of Jesus that has transformed us into forgiving people. Hopefully people who have let go of their rage and their anger and their hatred. People who have forgiven, and now Jesus invites us to anchor our request for forgiveness in the transformation that we have experienced in that we have forgiven others. And you might ask, well, what if I haven't? What if I haven't forgiven others? Then do it. Right? Do it. That's what the gospel calls us to do. To love, to forgive, to let go, to experience the transformation, the joy of the transformation, and then pray as transformed people. Here's another question to ask based on the model prayer. Do our prayers reflect the transformation in a way we think about and treat our debtors? Jesus doesn't just invite us to pray for a oneness in the church, but he invites us to pray with oneness. Give us this day our daily bread. He doesn't just invite us to pray for transformation. Please, God, help me forgive my debtors. He invites us to pray with transformation. I have forgiven my debtors. Please, Father, forgive me my debts. Not just my debts, but with the larger community in mind, forgive us our debts as we have been so transformed, so to forgive our debtors. So with these things in mind, let's look at John chapter 17 and then look at the way that Jesus prays on the night that he's betrayed. We'll pick up there in verse 6. I have manifested, I like to call this section of the Bible, the most use of pronouns ever. The English teachers would not like this. A lot of pronouns. Verse 6. I have manifested in your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they kept your word. Now they, that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and they have come to know in truth that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Do you see how Jesus prays with the mindfulness of the community of God's people? How he is praying and thinking about the entire group of his followers. Even, and we'll see in just a second, beyond those who were following him right then. Jesus is praying about them with the mindfulness of the entire community of God's people. That invites us to pray that way. He invites us to pray that way. Do we pray with the mindfulness of God's people? Do you see that he prays with the mindfulness about the transformation those people have already gone? He says, they have kept your word. They have received the words that you gave me and have come to know in truth that I came from you. They have received your word. They have kept your word. They've obeyed you. They've listened to you through me, and you've transformed them. Do we pray with that mindfulness of the transformation that has already been experienced in us? Sometimes we pray for it sort of like it's like a carrot at the end of the stick. It's always out there and we're just trying to reach it if we could only catch it. But Jesus says, as Christians, you've already caught it. You've already been transformed, or you should have already been, and become a forgiving people, a people who listen to the words of Jesus, a people who are already being transformed to love as Jesus loves. Not just pray for transformation, but pray with transformation. Father, forgive us as we have forgiven others. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 10 says, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Praying with and for oneness. Unity. That is why we pray. Give us this day our daily bread, because my needs are your needs. Your needs are my needs. Our brothers and sisters around the world, their needs are our needs. Do you remember when Christianity first got kicked off? The day of Pentecost, the Spirit came down, and the gospel was proclaimed, and 3,000 were baptized into Jesus. And do you remember what the church community was like? There was not a poor person among them. Why? Because they had everything in common.
They shared everything. Why? Because my house is your house. Mi casa es su casa. My stuff is your stuff. My hurts are your hurts. Paul says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is what it looks like to be Jesus' people. Oneness. Our joy and pains are shared. We get through this together. We walk in this together. Most immediately with the church family right here, right now, but throughout this world. Do we pray with that kind and with that kind of oneness? Do we pray with the mindfulness of the entirety of God's community? Give us this day our daily bread. When you pray for your family's daily bread, are you praying for your family in India? Are you praying for your family in Central America or the Ukraine? Are you praying for the family that did something horrible and are behind walls but have been converted? Are you praying for your family that's serving time in prison? Are you praying for the family that doesn't look or sound or talk anything like you? Are you praying for your brothers and sisters? Give us this day our daily bread as the people that have been brought out of captivity and into your eternal kingdom. Feed us today, Father. Bless us. Nourish us. And one of the ways that He gives us this day, our daily bread, is through each other. We have all things in common, and we take care of one another's needs because, again, your needs are my needs. Do we pray for oneness, and do we pray with oneness? And again, it's one thing to pray, God, make us one, give us unity. It's one thing to pray for oneness, and it's another thing to pray with oneness, where we feel each other's needs, and we feel each other's burdens, and we feel each other's joys. We share those things, and we pray for our daily bread. We also pray for transformation and with transformation. As a transformed people, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Skip down to verse 20 if you're reading along in your Bibles. Jesus there says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus here prayed not only for the apostles there, but also for those who are going to believe through their work. Well, who's that? That's you and I, right? And every Christian alive and every Christian who has been alive, all because they believe in Jesus through the testimony of the apostles. And Jesus prays not just for the immediate disciples right there in his presence, but for also those across the globe and across time. He prays for all of us that we may be one. Do we pray that way? Do we pray not only for those of us in this room and watching online? Do we pray for the not only for the church at Colcord, but do we pray for our brethren across the globe? And do we pray for our brothers and sisters across time? There is going to come a point in time where none of us in this room are going to be here anymore. And I hope and I pray that however many years on down the road that may be, that there is still going to be disciples of Jesus here because of things that we are doing now. Are we praying for future Christians that are going to come here and hear through the testimony of the apostles that we are one? Do we pray with that oneness in mind? Look at what he says, how much we would be one, as you and I are one. We use fancy theological words for Godhead. We say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, a lot of times the Trinity. That word there, tri and un, three in one. And Jesus prays for that type of unity. Many being one to be experienced, not just by Him, the Father, and the Spirit, but by all of us, that we might experience the type of oneness that He has with the Father. What if we learn to pray not only for that unity, but to pray with that unity? Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, and that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. Again, oneness, that we might experience and have the same oneness that the Father and the Son have, but also a visible transformation. Jesus says this oneness that he wants us to experience, all of his disciples to experience, what is the purpose of it? That the world may know. Does that remind you of what Jesus says in John chapter 13? He says to the disciples that the world will know you by your what? For your love for one another. Visible transformation. Oneness. Transformation. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have already forgiven our debtors. Oneness and transformation. Verse 34, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that where you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Isn't that what Jesus is teaching us to pray when he tells us to pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors? Pray not only to be transformed by the Father's love, but pray as people who have been transformed by the Father's love. That the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Do we pray like that? Do we pray as people who are unified with all of Jesus' people? Do we pray as a people who have been transformed by the Father's love? Your love, Father, is in us. Your forgiveness is in us. Your Son is in us. We are one. We share each other's needs. I don't just pray for my own needs or my own bread, but I pray, give us our daily bread. And I don't just pray for my own forgiveness, but I pray for our forgiveness, that you would forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Do we pray with that kind of oneness? The kind of mindfulness of the entire community of God's people and that kind of transformation? So the moment of truth question is, do your prayers reflect oneness and transformation? Do your prayers reflect that Jesus has loved you, that Jesus has forgiven you, that Jesus has transformed you, that Jesus has brought you together with all of his people across the globe, that you are part of a family that's not just one or two or three or four, but a family that is millions? Do our prayers reflect that sort of oneness? I do think we need to pray for that oneness. We ought to pray for unity, but we also need to pray with that unity. Not just, Father, make us one, but Father, since you have made us one, give us this day our daily bread. Not just for transformation, help me to forgive my debtors, but to pray with transformation. Imagine how that might change your life. Imagine if you're the kind of person who holds on to a grudge. You're holding on to a debt, and you're saying, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to let this go, and I'm going to hate them for forever for what they have done to me. But you embrace what Jesus has done for you and the life for which he has called you to and what you've experienced with Jesus, and now you forgive your debtors. Because you let go, and when you let go and you pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, only he can give you the power through the Spirit to forgive like that. And only when you forgive like that can you pray like this. Only when you are called into and step into and embrace this oneness can you pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. For us in this country, it's really easy for us to think of church as something we come to. It's an activity once a week, maybe twice a week, maybe three times a week. It's something we come to. Maybe it's something we support. Maybe it's something we really like and appreciate. But is it something that we are a part of? A part of not only here, but throughout the world. That we are part of a movement. We are part of a family. We are part of a kingdom. We are part of something much larger than ourselves. And this oneness is something that we should not only embrace, but we should pray for at the very top of our minds. Maybe this morning is our opportunity to pray for you or with you. Maybe you have something going on in your life. If you have a burden in your life, if you have a pain in your life that needs help being carried, then it's our burden too. And we want to pray with and for your daily bread and your daily hurt. We want to because you are a part of us. And we can't know what's going on in your life unless you share it with us. We give you this opportunity to come and share with your church family because we love you and because we are part of the same body. Your hunger is all of our hunger. Our pain is shared. But maybe you're not part of the body of Jesus just yet. Maybe you haven't experienced the forgiveness that comes with putting Christ on in baptism. Maybe you've been thinking and studying and talking about that and you're ready. Or you just need prayers or whatever your need is. Now would be the opportune time as together we stand and we sing.